Did the record get any airplay when it came out?
I don't believe so. It just was huge at parties. I don't believe it got any airplay that I'm aware of.
Later on it did.
Later on it did, yes.
Okay. And the flip side is Scotch Mist. Were you guys also playing on the flip side?
Yes, right. We did. I don't remember too much about that song, but
it's an instrumental, correct?
Yes.
Right.
No vocals.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was recorded and then he played it at twice the speed or whatever, so it's a really fast sounding song.
What was Warren doing at this point in time?
I don't recall what his primary.
I think he was a teacher.
At Minnetonka High?
I don't remember that it was at Minnetonka, but they also, his family owned a drive-in, the Roundup.
Did they own that?
Yeah, right.
I didn't know that.
A movie theater or a restaurant?
No, I'm sorry, a restaurant.
Where was that located?
That was right across from the Tonka Terrace Shopping Center on Highway, was that 19?
19.
Yeah. It was just a small little hangout.
Just outside of Excelsior.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how many copies of the Scotty record of the Scotsman were pressed up?
I remember from the time it was like around 100, but that he might have done some later. I'm not sure.
So that record comes out in early 65, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens with the band after the record is out?
Not too long after that, one of the band members, Jim Krill, left the band. We looked around for a replacement and ended up with a young man named Dennis Waite.
How did you find Dennis?
He was a friend of Jim Kane's that Jim had met at the Teen Fair.
Mm-hmm.
He came and auditioned and we liked him. And so Dennis was in and Jim was out. And then we played locally for a little more than a year after that. When I say locally, I mean pretty much the three-state area.
Was Danny playing keyboards and harp at that time also, or?
Not too much. I don't think
he played primarily tambourine.
Tambourine, yeah.
He played a mean tambourine.
Yeah.
Do you recall the first job with Danny on lead vocals?
Who could forget?
We'll never forget that one.
Where was it?
It was in Bismarck, North Dakota. And we drove all the way to Bismarck. It was 39 below zero. It was in January. And it was at a very nice club. It was packed. We came out to start the set, and Denny couldn't perform because he had stage fright.
He couldn't sing?
Well, this was his first time performing with a band in front of an audience. He just couldn't get the voice to work.
So what happened?
He just froze out there. Well, we did the songs, and I sang most of the songs that he was supposed to sing. I don't remember. I think we played a few more instrumentals than we normally do. Took maybe a few minute longer breaks than we normally do to try to get through this night because. And he was the lead singer, and it's real tough to perform without the lead singer. So we were trying to be very creative that night.
Did he stay on stage? And
I think he played the tambourine.
Yeah,
or
he just kind of stood there and did what he could. Eventually, later on, he was able to start to sing, but he overcame the fright.
And that was only half the problem. As I mentioned, it was 39 below. The van wouldn't start. So we had to find a gas station that would allow us to park the van inside overnight to thaw the van out so we could start it in the morning and get out of town. And that's what we did. So that was quite a trip. We'll never forget that one.
That was our highest paying job, too, at the
$250 we got on that one.
That was more than you typically made?
I don't recall.
Yeah, that was our biggest paying job up until that time, so a lot of money back then.
With Denny Waite in the band, was there a change in the musical direction of the group?
Right. We kind of evolved along with what popular music was doing, and we, you know, started, again, getting the albums from England, and we started to do more songs by them, and and the Zombies and the Kinks and the, you know, and so yeah, we definitely changed.
So you had the album Them with the original version of Gloria, correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Before the Shadows of Night had the hit.
That's right. Right.
Way before that, right, yep.
So you perhaps were one of the very first bands in town to play that song, Gloria?
I would say so.
I believe, yeah, we were. And
I understand there's a story about that song being recorded as part of a radio station promotion contest, or...
I don't remember now if it was KDWB or WDGY. One of them was promoting a thing where they would bring a band in and each one could record a song.
Was that a Dove, Gary?
Yes. They would play that song on the air and have the audience call in and vote on if they liked the song or not. So we had just learned Gloria. Found out like in 2 days they wanted us to come in record a song, so we thought, well, this is a great song, let's do this one. But we were still kind of learning the song, so we go in the studio and record it to be played on the radio. The next day we discover that Denny had not been spelling Gloria correctly, when we didn't realize it at the time. So we told the radio station, we don't want you to play this thing on the air because it's too embarrassing.
So he was singing the wrong spelling in the song.
Right.
What was he singing?
Well, instead of G-L-O-R-I-A, Gloria, he was spelling it like G-L-O-O-R-A, Glura. So...
And nobody noticed this at
I don't know time? How we missed it, but no, we didn't catch it until too late. So we said, no, don't play it, but...
I don't recall if we recorded the music first and then did the words later. That was done in those days.
Your recording of Gloria, was it strictly a tape or acetate, or did it get pressed up, or what was it?
Of course it was on tape initially, and then they pressed up an acetate.
Did you just do the one song, or did you do others?
That's all we did at that time, because the radio station was paying for it, so we just did Gloria and left.
Okay, so that's the only recording then of the Victors with Denny Waite in a studio.
No, we did some more later.
You did more later?
After that, right.
Back at Dove?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Okay.
How many songs did you record back at Dove?
Oh, it was probably, boy, I don't know, 8 or 10 or...
Do you have some titles?
That's about right, 8 or 10 or so.
Yeah, I mean, it was Little Girl, One More Time. These are Them songs.
We actually recorded at Minnetonka High School with a couple students that were trying to form a recording company.
Yeah, and they're really...
We did 3-4 songs with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought our best overall recording, though, was a song called One More Time.
Is that a cover song or original?
That was a cover song. That was done at Dove.
Who did the original version?
I believe that was Them.
Them, I think, yeah.
Now, did the band do any writing of original songs?
That's the one thing that I regret, is that we really didn't pursue that very much that I'm aware of.
Well, we did some. I mean, they're actually on that, or the things that we recorded at Minnetonka High School, and they're on our CD, some of the original ones with Jim Krill and Jim Kane singing. And
who would have been the songwriters on your original songs?
Well, it was either Jim Krill or Jim Kane.
What do you recall about the Piers Funhouse?
Well, we played there quite a few times, we discovered on my calendar.
Where was it located?
Piers, Minnesota. The only thing that I remember is the fight outside. We took a break and, you know, we were outside enjoying some fresh air, and all of a sudden these kids come out from inside the dance, and two guys start fighting, and I'm going, whoa. That's what I remember, but...
Yeah,
it was a very enthusiastic crowd. They liked having us there, and we always enjoyed playing there.
Was there a club in town where you guys were more popular than, say, other places you played?
Well, for sure, at the Blazer in Nisswa.
Yeah, Nisswa.
Now, I've heard you might have set a attendance record there. Is that right?
That's what they told us, yes.
And what was the number?
I want to say 1,500. And of course, they would only allow, the fire department would only allow about, 200 inside or 150. It was just packed all the way around the whole building.
I think it
people waiting to get in.
Might have been around the 4th of July again.
Yeah, it was a summer vacation area, and there was just tons of people up there.
So that would have been the summer of 65?
65, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And what was that woman's name that owned?
Mrs. Fitzsimmons.
Mrs. Fitzsimmons was the owner.
I knew her by her first name only. I forgot now.
Okay.
But anyway, sorry.
How about in town? Did you have a favorite place to play in town here?
Oh, Danceland.
Danceland, I would say.
Was always our favorite. And Big Reggie, Ray Colahan, that ran Danceland, he was the promoter that brought the Beatles to town.
Right.
And the Dave Clark Five also.
Right. The night that he brought the Beatles to town, he hired us to play at Danceland.
So that's August 21st, 1965.
Yep, we were at Danceland, and the Beatles were at Metro State, whatever that stadium was.
Metropolitan Stadium.
Metropolitan Stadium.
Or Met Stadium.
Right.
As they called it for short in Bloomington.
Yep.
Big Reggie, Ray Colahan.
Did Big Reggie ask you to play backup music while he sang Cotton Fields?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That in Kansas City. And
yeah, he did that.
Yep.
He did a good job.
Yeah, so, he did. He'd get up there and, that big nose he has.
And sometimes the disc jockey, Bill Deal, would introduce everybody, and it was fun.
So the band starts to wind down in 66, is that correct?
Right. Well, Gary had to move, so we knew we were losing him. And do you want to take it from there?
Well, you guys said that, well, what I remember, you said that, well, he's leaving, and I don't know if I want to play anymore. And
Gary, you left Minnesota for what reason?
Oh, my dad took a transfer. He was an airline pilot and wanted to move to California, and we said, okay. I thought, Surf City, here I come.
So that's before you are a senior in high school, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you recall the last job the Victors played? And the date?
Yeah, we were on a flatbed trailer on July 23rd, 1966, Belle Plaine, Minnesota, for kind of like a town celebration there. We really enjoyed it. It was a bittersweet night because we knew we were breaking up. I was flying at that time, and I wanted to go into more aviation-oriented projects, so I was done at that time as well, but it's a bittersweet night. I thought we were at our peak then. We did very well.
Did the other band members talk about carrying on or not?
Yeah, I think Jim and Danny did. Ron was kind of indifferent, I think, at that point. So, but it was it was a sad night. I was very sad to have to leave, quit the band, and move to California. But
Ron and I actually explored joining another band shortly after that, but it didn't pan out. So was it for us.
Ron Butwin.
Which band was that?
Well, he was in a band called The Escapades.
Mm-hmm.
They had disbanded, and we got together with Ron Butwin and tried to put something together, but it didn't work.
So looking back at the Victors, was there a certain job or event that sticks out to you guys as a highlight of the band?
Oh, that's a good question.
There were so many. I mean, it's just hard to pin one down. We just had so many great times.
Yeah.
It was such an exciting time, and we'd get done playing at the end of a show, and the girls would line up. And
line up for autographs.
Oh, of course. It was just a great time.
Jerry, any one thing stick out in your memory as far as a good memory of the band?
The camaraderie. We'd get in a car and drive for hours, and you'd have to get along. Or we took the van, but usually our two associates that set the equipment up for us drove the van, and then we rode in a car. Sometimes we'd all jump in the van and go, and it was just the little things of being with these guys all the time and having fun. It was a part of you was gone when it broke up. I mean, it was just, you know, hey, I won't be that close to a bunch of guys probably for a long time.
So, Gary, did you do anything musically after the Victors or not?
Well, when I got to California, I did play in a band for a little while, but they just weren't serious enough, and it didn't go anywhere. And so I was also getting into aviation at the time and got my pilot's licenses and kind of just went off in a different direction, and I started college and so on. So,
okay, so as far as an update with the band members, what are you two doing now, and what do you know about the other guys as far as what they are doing?
Dennis Waite lives in Lakeville. He's doing carpentry work, I believe, at the time. He used to work for Northwest, but now I think he's doing some kind of carpentry type.
And I believe he still plays with the Litter on their reunion concerts.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Which, not too often, but...
Yeah.
Okay, Terry, what do you do these days?
I'm retired. It's a tough job, but someone has to do it. I'm just working part-time for a car dealership doing dealer trade driving. But for 30 years, I was an insurance agent.
Okay.
Gary and I were both air traffic controllers until 1981.
Did that have something to do with Ronald Reagan?
That is correct. So we had to start over in 1981, and I started an insurance agency until I was going to get a real job, and ended up staying there 30 years and sold the agency, so it turned out to be okay for me.
And how about your other bandmates? Do you have an update on them?
Ron Daly passed away on November 20th, 2009. A sad day for all of us.
He was a great guy.
Yeah, he was a
just
great
a
guy.
Just a funny guy.
Yep.
Great guitar player.
Yeah. I remember we saw him a few years before that. I hadn't seen him in 15 or 20 years, and he gave me a big hug. It was good to see him again. Jim Krill is out on the northeast or northwest coast somewhere.
He's out in Oregon.
Oregon or Washington,
yeah,
or somewhere out there.
He's kind of basically retired.
Jim Kane?
Jim Kane, I don't know where he is.
Not sure where he's at, but he kind of comes and goes, and I don't know. He hasn't had any contact with us for years.
Yep.
And then me.
Yeah, and you?
Yeah.
Where are you nowadays?
I was fired in 81 as a controller, but I was in real estate and insurance for a number of years, and then in 98 I was rehired as an air traffic controller and retired now as an air traffic controller. I'm driving motor coaches for Northfield Lines out of Northfield.
Do they have a CD in the bus?
They do.
Can you plug in a Victor's Victorious CD?
I can, anytime I want.
Speaking of the Victors Victorious, I'm looking at a CD that came out on Arf Arf Records in 2006, I believe it was.
Correct.
How did this come about?
Well, I was doing some searching online probably in 2001 or something, and I saw some stuff. I found the Scotsman Beer Bus Blues, and it's like, well, how did this come about, and the Litter and all these things. And so I tracked it down to Arf Arf Records, and I found that they had put some of this out. So I called a person that runs it called Eric Lindgren and told him who I was, and he actually seemed fairly excited to talk to me and wanted to know if I had any tapes and so on of the Victors. And I said I sure do. So I flew out to Boston and met with Eric and stayed at his place on Cape Cod, and also his place south of Boston, and went to his studio, and I gave him all his tapes and so on, and he put it all together and put it out, and there it is. He did a really nice job with it.
Does it surprise you that there's been a renewed interest in the local Twin Cities bands over the past decades?
Well, in a way, but you know what? I think the music was really good in those days, and I think a lot of these bands were very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I still enjoy that music. That's still my favorite music. So in a way, yes, in a way, no.
And I believe another album came out with three bands, the Electras, the Scotsmen, the Victors, all having a relationship with Warren Kendrick. And that came out, I believe, 1993 on Get Hip. Is that correct?
Yes.
Both of the Scotsmen tunes are on there, Beer Bust Blues, Scotch Mist. Except your pitcher didn't make it.
Right.
No, I think the Electras must have had something to do with that. For some reason, they didn't want us on there.
Gary, Terry, thank you for taking the time to share with us today your story about the Victors.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you. Great times.
Yep.
Miss it. Miss yep. those days, yeah.
The preceding interview was recorded on February 23rd, 2013 at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Denny Johnson and Tom Campbell. The copyright owner of this interview is MiniPaulMusic.com.
Stories that he tells and comes.